and we're going to invite Sister Janti to come up on stage. How many of you do not know Sister Janti? Very few. Most of you have seen her before. Sister Janti is the director of the Brahma Kumari's activities in Europe, Middle East, but she's also very much a world mother. Everybody in every BK center in the world knows her. She is a fantastic listener. She was a young girl when she came to this practice, about 14, 15 years old, and she became Daddy Janki's right-hand translator. So she spent more than 50 years with Daddy Janki by her side. So the secrets the soul knows in terms of karma and how spiritual matters work are phenomenal. So she is a depth of wisdom, and she's here today to speak with us about how we put drama karma together, how we make some sense of what we've been hearing over the last 2-3 days of this knowledge. Welcome, Sister Janti. It's very nice to see you. We will play a song, a short song, so Sister Janti can, we can have meditation with her for the next 4 or 5 minutes. Shivoham, Shivoham,
Om Shanti. Good morning. It's beautiful to see you all. Understanding soul is not so difficult. We can feel that consciousness is something else separate from matter, from the body. Understanding God is a big step. But even if you have faith in the soul and faith in God, understanding karma is another 10 steps. Because as soon as you understand karma, of course there's a question, but beginning and end, one life doesn't answer all the questions. And so, is there a possibility of life before life and life after death? And then you're faced with the question of rebirth. And so, as I say, that's another 10 steps to take. But even if you understand karma and begin to understand that it's absolutely a fact, cause and effect, how can you alter that? You're seeing the effect, there must be a cause. And so you even begin to accept that there's life after life and life after death and all of those things. Then you're facing the situation of drama. And drama becomes 1,000 steps. Who feels that? Understanding God was a big step. Understanding karma was 100 steps, and understanding drama is 1,000 steps. Not difficult. Everybody found it very easy. A little bit shy, you're thinking about it still. But let me assure you that whichever background people come from, east or west, understanding drama is 1,000 steps to take. So if you're still sorting it out in your head, it's okay. And if it takes you not just the few days that you're here, but if it takes you a few weeks, that's also okay. But there's one particular practice that helps you put both things together that's very important, but it's also very beautiful. And that is experimenting with the awareness of this being of light that I am, and experiencing the detachment from the physical body. Some of you may have had experiences of detachment, and sometimes they call it out-of-body experiences. And we might not give it such a big label, but certainly people have had that with or without exploring the detail of spiritual teachings. So that state of detachment is something that many have experienced for a moment, for several minutes, whatever it may be. But it's something that we can consciously experience, being a soul, experimenting by shifting my consciousness away from the body. Can I experience myself as that being of light? And if I can, that's great. Then in that experience of just the being of light, another aspect to experience is the way in which there isn't a beginning and there isn't an end. You are the eternal being of light. No beginning, no end. And when you experience this, I think that's when karma and drama fit together. Because then you realize that who I am, what I am, all of me, everything that I am, doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. So I truly am eternal. No beginning, no end. And in that experience, yes, then you can begin to see how everything that I've done, all the experiences that I've had, everything that I've gone through is recorded within the soul. And so where is the drama recorded? Is there an Akashic record? Well, maybe. But more importantly, rather than trying to access an Akashic record that's somewhere up there, I don't know where, and I don't know which computer to find that can help me locate it, or which buttons to press that can help me understand it, a very simple thing to do is to just experience that inner being of light and to know that my total record of experience and existence is within I, the inner being, I, the soul. And so today, as I speak, the recording that's there within me comes to a point within time, and at that moment of time, whatever has been recorded within the tape or the record, whatever image you'd like to use, but that part expresses itself and then goes back within, and the next part begins to express itself. You're with me? Yeah? I know that the first time I heard this, I had to really stop and think about it a lot. And it was this experience of eternity that made it clear for me. So my hope is that in this atmosphere of spirituality and calm, away from the hustle and bustle of your usual life, maybe here, you have the time and the opportunity to experiment with this and check it out for yourself. So that recording that's there within me, it emerges, it goes back in, and the next bit emerges. And so my karma is recorded within me, And as I express whatever karma it is that I'm carrying, that is the drama. And so karma is not something out there. Karma is what I have done. And so karma is the recording within myself. But also, it then means that there is an imprint out of which the next karma comes. And then that is called the drama. So very often you can interchange these two words, karma and drama, drama and karma. Something happens out there, and I can say it's the drama, which it is. But how did it happen? How come this is my drama and not your drama? Maybe twins. Same family, same moment of birth, and yet their karma can turn out to be very, very different. Their drama becomes very, very different. And so it's not the stars or the configuration of the stars. It's not the parental upbringing or even the school education. It's something that the soul itself has carried with itself. Today, they are twins or sisters or siblings or whatever it may be. But where were you before? Where was I before? And now we come together. But even though we might come together now, yet even within this moment, my drama, my karma, and your drama, and your karma will be unique. Can't be the same. Because our features may be the same. And sometimes twins don't always have the same features. Here you see a brilliant example of twins who do have the same features. But usually not so, or oftentimes not so. But certainly their karma and drama is different. And so here I am in this particular situation, and maybe you also in the same situation, but our responses to the same situation are very different. There's an earthquake. Somebody's scared and paralyzed, doesn't even know where to run, how to run. Somebody sees what's going on and is very scared, and they run here and there, and there's a problem. And another one knows about consciousness, practices stillness, and becomes detached and stays where they are, calm and still. And the moments of terror pass, and they're okay. And maybe there's another one who's not only calm and still and knows about consciousness themselves, but they have the power to be able to bring a sense of calmness and stillness to others around them. And so they're supporting them, giving them courage and faith. And that support enables the others to be calm and still. And so not only are they protected, but they're able to give that same protection to others around them too. Same situation, with four different people and four different reactions, and it all depends on the individual and how the individual reacts or responds to the external situation. So you can see that whatever is inbuilt within the soul itself is what has created this response. The paralysis, they're so scared that they're petrified, they can't move, they don't know what to do. They're not able to do anything. And the other, so afraid that maybe I can get help here, maybe I can get help here, maybe if I go there. And in the running around, maybe that's what makes them fall and break a leg. It wasn't the earthquake, it was their reaction to that. So in all situations, the question then comes, but what is my reaction or my response depend on? It depends on what's going on inside of me, what it is that I'm carrying within myself. So how did that come about? It's a little like being Sherlock Holmes. You track it back, track it back, track it back, and where does it go? Where does it lead me to? And so here, if the responses are coming from inside, now, at what point was that program written? How was that program written? Who wrote it? Well, one thing is clear. Nothing happens by chance. You agree? Chance? Luck? Bad luck? Good luck? Is there such a thing? Or does it depend on me? Who thinks I am responsible for everything that happens to me? Okay, for those who think that it's not me, I'm curious to know who you think it is. Anyone want to offer? If it's not me that's responsible for everything that's happening to me, well, who's responsible? My parents? Maybe. But why is it that I have those parents and not those parents? You see? Track it back. So, at what point did I choose those parents rather than these parents? I chose. Or was there an unseen hand that said, okay, here are all these little souls. I'm going to send this one here and this one here and this one here. Possible? Somebody playing chess with us? Well, who? Is it God? Is there anything else? You can see we draw a few blanks. But yes, you've got all day to think about these things. And more, plenty more. But if you let yourself go further and further and further and further back, I think you'll actually come to the conclusion that it can't be my parents, it can't be chance, it can't just happen just like that. There's always a reason for everything. And so finally, I have to come to the conclusion, it's me. And I'll be very curious if you come to that conclusion before you leave here. And I hope you will come to that conclusion. Why? Because being responsible isn't a burden, but being responsible is actually the gateway to freedom. Sounds paradoxical, but it's a fact. If I say I'm responsible, then not only am I responsible for what I've done in the past, which is why sometimes it feels a burden. Oh my goodness, what did I do that I deserve all of this? But no, I accept responsibility. Then it's absolutely in my hands to choose what I want to do for the rest of today and tomorrow. Absolutely. You can choose to come to that Ijanki session at 12 or go have a nap. It's your choice. You can choose to go to the temple in the afternoon or not go. The rest of today is your choice for all the little decisions but also the big decisions. And the interesting thing is whatever choices I make today are going to be bringing the fruits tomorrow. I choose to listen to a wise woman 102 years of age who carries with her the wisdom of 80 plus years of meditation. Maybe I learned something. And if I chose to have a nap, well, that's fine. I needed a rest, but I'll have lost out on that wisdom. And yes, I can catch up on an MP3 or some type of recording. but I'll have lost something. I choose to go to the temple. Yeah, maybe I'll get my feet a bit dirty or my socks a bit dirty. But I'll see something very beautiful. Something that I could never have imagined. Literally. And I choose not to go. Maybe that's the time I choose to nap. Well, that's fine. But I'll have missed something very special. And so whatever I choose to do today has a consequence. Whether it's a little one or a very big one. And so it actually means freedom. Taking responsibility gives me the freedom of choice and also freedom to decide what it is I want for tomorrow. What is it that I wish to carry away with myself? So it's beautiful having choice, it's great having freedom, but it means accepting responsibility. And so where I am today is my responsibility. And so at what time did I create those patterns that led me to make a choice in a particular way, or led me to have a response in a particular way? And in summary, in essence, we could say it's the sum total of my experience. I've had a very exciting, exhilarating experiences of temples, and I'll probably say I want to go. And I've had not such a pleasant experience of temples. It's a little bit dirty, it's a little bit hot, it's a little bit messy, and it's a bit of hanging around, and it wasn't really worthwhile. So that'll make me say no. But these are little things, choosing to go here, choosing to go there, or not to. But in everything I've decided to do, and maybe more importantly, maybe in certain things I haven't consciously decided to do, but my habit has been so strong that it's pushed me in that direction. Now that's not so nice. Because it means I've lost control. If I'm allowing past habits to intervene and push me without my consciously thinking about it, or consciously having the power and the capacity to choose and follow that choice through, habits have taken over and I'm going to find it a problem. And maybe that's the time when I realize this, that I'm not in charge of my life, my habits have taken over. At that moment when the bulb suddenly lights up, I say, I don't want this to carry on like this. I want to make a conscious choice. Then it's not just my habits, but there's something even more powerful than my habits if I give it a chance. And that is my conscience. And I want to bring in not just karma and drama, but I want to bring in a third word that you hear all the time, and that is meditation. If I bring in meditation, that's then strengthening my conscience, making it so powerful that then it's my conscience that is in charge of my life. Not my habits, not circumstances, not other people. Because at times all of these things can interfere. But meditation allows me to rise above that so that I reclaim my own inner capacity. I'm building my own inner strength and power. And that then guides me to my destination. And so drama, that I'm in this situation, karma, that my habits have put me in this situation. So karma and habit, the connection, repeated action. I perform the same action two times, even two times, strengthens, underlines that pattern of behavior, and three times and you're stuck. Four times and you're on the way to becoming an addict. Five times and you're well and truly trapped in that situation. But I've been using the word habit as if it were not always positive. And at present times, most of our habits aren't so constructive, but they can be good habits too. Create the good habit of early morning rising. Create a good habit of early morning walk. A good habit of starting the day with spirituality. So all these good habits, once, twice, three times, and you're well on the way. And it'll be great for you to continue with all of these things wherever you go, whatever you're doing. And so my karma has created certain patterns. And drama is then the situation where I find myself in because of my habits. Good place, not so good place, very bad place. My habits have brought me where I am. And so you can see immediately karma and drama being interlinked. And if I want to change my habits, I'm also creating a new drama for myself. I'm changing my own drama. And so we sometimes say you can write the script of your own drama, which is a fact. At this moment of time, when I have the opportunity for all aspects of wisdom. And again, within your lesson on drama, it must have been made clear to you that there are certain periods in which certain things happen within the cycle, within the clock of time. And the period that we're going through now is the craziest of all. Do you agree? Who thinks it's the craziest time to be alive? I certainly do. I was, before coming to India, just between USA and India, was just one day in London. So USA is crazy. Somebody called it the United States of Anxiety. And London, UK, is completely crazy. They don't know whether they want to stay in, go out, they're out, but they don't know whether they like being out, they won't go in. Those of you from England know that it is very, very crazy at the moment. Everything's up and down. India? Well, I come to India, and again, it's very crazy. So, normally I come very straight to Abu, because this is where I want to be. But this time I had to have a stopover in Bombay for a couple of reasons. And one was a very fascinating situation of being with high-powered social entrepreneurs who want to do something good for the world and something good for India. And so their discussions were really fascinating. So I discovered more about how crazy things are here. So it must be the craziest time in human history, that everything is topsy-turvy. But yet it's also the most powerful time in human history. When things are high energy, anything can happen. When there's high energy, it can go that way and bring you crashing down, or it can carry you up. So that's the period that we're in now. And we can choose, do I want to be part of the descending energy? And all of us were part of that before we suddenly woke up and decided, no, I don't have to be going crashing down. I can choose another way to be, and I can choose a way to go up. And so the energy of this time can be either way. But having made a choice to come here, I think it's clear that you're already aware of positive choices and choices that can help you move upwards and go on the ascent rather than the decline, the descent. And so this is the time when I can choose what drama it is I wish to create for myself. And the drama that I'm choosing now is that I would like to emerge the highest potential that I carry within myself and be able to express it right now. Who wants to do that?
Somebody's got two hands up. Great.
I'm glad. Some of you are still thinking about it. Okay. But if you spend too much time just thinking about what you need to do, you might never get to do it. So just be aware that I might be just saying, stop, I want to think. But meanwhile, time isn't going to stop. Time is going to go racing ahead. And so it's a time for decisions. Where do I want to go? This way or that way? It's not even from here to there, but it's that way or that way. And so if I choose to go that way, it's possible. Through the rest of the cycle, maybe individuals have had a chance to make a choice, but there's never been an opportunity for the collective, the whole family of humanity, to make that choice. But today, the whole family of humanity can make that choice and go that way, if we want. And the way to make that choice and go that way is to bring in the energy of God. And if I bring in that energy into my life, then I'm accessing the purest, the highest, the most powerful energy that's available for anyone in the universe. And so not just my own inner energy, but God's energy coming in to help me also. And at this moment now, I can say, whatever is the karma I've done out of unawareness, out of ignorance, has led me to a situation where there's some type of sorrow, maybe health, maybe wealth, maybe relationships, maybe my own wisdom or lack of it. But there's something or another that's missing within our lives. And that's because the Copper Age, the Iron Age, we haven't had access to wisdom in the way we have it today. Today, we have access to all of God's wisdom. Because it's a time of transformation, the time of change. And so at this moment now, I can connect with that source of power and light and love and truth. And that energy enables me not only to make the right choices, but it gives me the power, the capacity to do all the good karma that I'd like to do and create the fortune that I want for the future. And the beautiful thing is that the moment that I choose to do good karma, it's not only of benefit for me alone, it brings benefit to many, many others. You decide to cut a tree. Well, that's going to be on your head. Not only the tree crashing, but all the repercussions. The lungs of the earth a little bit more lost there. The ecosystem changing, maybe giving way to floods, lots of repercussions. And so our bad karma did lots of things for not just me, but for many others. For my good karma today, I decide to plant an apple tree or a mango tree, depending on where I live. I plant a seed, and within a few years, maybe not so few, maybe many years, but at some point it'll begin to give me fruits. But not only will it bring me fruits, how many generations will benefit from that tree? There won't be a label on the tree planted by so-and-so. The label, even if it was there, would have been lost by then. But many, many generations will be able to have fruits from that. The shade that's going to be available, many generations will benefit from the shade. And so at this moment, I'm creating the drama for a better world for all. And that's not being egotistical, because it's not one, but it's a collective. It's all of us together. There's an impact for me personally, but as we collectively work together, we're actually creating a better world for all, not just for a handful, but for all. And so the beautiful thing about drama is that now we can choose to shift the drama, change the drama, and do something that we've never been able to do before. And this is because the power that's available for us now has not been available in past times. I was talking about one individual and their greatness, but it didn't change the world. The last 2,500 years, more and more and more and more tragedies in one form or another, even though we've had pillars of light trying to share their light. But their greatness is to be admired. Mahatma Gandhi, 150th anniversary, and lots of people are thinking about it, not just in India, but in England, USA. I was there, they were talking about it a lot. But now is the time for the human family to experience greatness. And the world is going to become a better world for all, not through the effort of one or two, but all of us together. That's what's going to create the big shift and the change within the cycle of the world, the drama of the world. But that's where we are at now. And so everything that I do, recorded within the soul, and everything recorded coming up again for replay at that moment in drama. Have you sometimes had the experience of déjà vu? Yes? Many are nodding their heads. And you know for sure that you've not been there this birth, you haven't come there, you haven't met this person this birth, but maybe it was last birth. Yes, maybe. But maybe it was even last cycle. It's recorded. Future. You knew something was going to happen. And many times when we know that something's going to happen, it's maybe not such a nice thing. And you're afraid of it. You don't like it. You don't want it. But it keeps coming to you. And 9 times out of 10, it actually doesn't happen, thankfully. And you say, thank God. Whether you believe in God or you don't, you'll still say, thank God. But at times, you had this premonition, and yes, it happens. Maybe something beautiful that you only thought was your imagination, but it had come to you and it happens. Or maybe very often things are not so good, but it came to you. This is something that's going to happen. And it happens. Well, the past can be recorded, that in many different ways can be understood, but the future, is the future recorded? Well, dreams of the future, prophecies of the future, premonitions of the future, call it as you will, but that also is an indication that there's something that's there, recorded, that's now emerging and is happening. So, I can can see why it's 1,000 steps away to understand the cycle and to understand how my role within the cycle is, what I make of it, but that I carry the whole recording of the cycle within my own karma that's recorded in myself. And I think I need to give you a few minutes of silence just to digest it, and then we can open up for questions and comments. So I'll guide us into a meditation. And if you don't experience the things that I'm talking about, that's also fine. It doesn't have to be that everything happens now, but it's there for you to reflect on and see where it leads to in the future. I sit quietly, and as I journey inwards, I can feel I, the inner being, a being of light. I hold this awareness of who I am. Shining star, a being of peace, a being of light. This is who I am. And with the power of thought, it is as if something pulls me from within and carries me outside. Outside my own skin. Outside the identity of this individual. I have an existence which is quite separate. The body sits quietly. Away from the awareness of the body and all that's associated with the body, and feel my separate existence. I, the soul, eternal. In this separate existence, I get the sense of the reality of no beginning and no end. I am eternal. always existed. And we'll continue. In this awareness of my own eternity, everything within is clear. The mind, eternal. Intellect, eternal. And at this moment, connected with the divine, God's light and God's love. An awareness, an intellect that's eternal. And the imprints of behavior and character also eternal. God's light and love uplifts my feelings, my awareness, and God's love allows that which is the highest to emerge within the soul. And with God's light and love, I begin to express that potential into my life and my actions. Come back to the awareness of the moment here and now. But I hold this awareness of the power of God's love, and that this is the time Can you raise your hand?
Om Shanti, sister. Oprah Winfrey likes to call, you know, those moments we have epiphanies as aha moments. And I must say I had a lot of those moments during this talk. I'd like to know, what was your aha moment when you realized, or when you could fully comprehend how drama and karma comes together? Or did you just, when this was explained to you, like how you explained it to us, did you just immediately understand it and, you know, apply it in your life?
I was very fortunate in that I'd known Daddy Janki from childhood, but had not actually listened to the teachings. And then I was in India on a gap year, and I went along to see her, basically because I was bored. And I was, having been in India for 3 months as a tourist and a social butterfly, I was bored. And so I thought, I need to educate myself. So I went along to see her, and she was talking about choices and conscience, and how our intellect has been influenced by, we didn't have Wi-Fi and drugs around in those days. So she mentioned things like education and friends and peer pressure and society generally. And this is why we weren't able to be clear in what we wanted to do. And it was amazing for me because I'd been at a point in my life where there was the Western lifestyle, there was the Eastern lifestyle, and the permissive society that had just about started. This is 1968. And so at that moment I thought, well, if she can tell me how to be able to make my choice just within a few minutes of meeting her, I need to explore these things further. And after that, it was very powerful for the first little while. The ups and downs came later, but at that moment, the experience of soul, the experience of God was very, very powerful through 1 day lesson, 2 day lesson. And then when it came to drama, I thought, well, I don't understand this, but I'll park it for the moment and I'll come back to it later. And I didn't actually have to come back and struggle with it, but the experience of the eternal soul and then studying all the teachings continually and meditating, a bit of the rust must have cleared. And so then it was clear.
Thank you. This your concept of time as we know it, I know it's a difficult and complicated question, but the time as we know it, is it Gregorian? Or no, what calendar are we using? And is time real?
There's so many concepts of time that we play with. You know, one is this, the clock time, the watch time, and that anyway ticks on. Opportunities come, opportunities go, and we don't always realize and take the opportunity as it presents itself. But the bigger picture of time, the world cycle, the clock of the world, and so that opportunity, again, the night, the darkness that's finishing, the dawn that's already broken, and the opportunity to move forward into the light, into the day, that's the time, this confluence that we're at now. And yes, time will move in its own way, but for some time is going too slowly, time is going too fast. So different things, but if I'm aligned to my conscience, and through meditation to what time is calling of me, then my movement is going to be aligned to the bigger clock, the time of the cycle, and take me in the direction that I want to go in. Does that help?
Other question? Hans, could you give that brother? Thank you.
Hi, once again, and actually I had a question regarding the karma and dramas being always interchanged by us as humans. So, and then we always said that, or you actually said there is a fact that you can write the script of your own drama. So my question here is, if the karma and dramas mostly controlled by us, ourselves, on maybe the soul level or the physical level, whatever it is, what is the part of God in the drama? Or does he actually control that through us? That is the question, if it's clear.
God's intervention is, I think, essentially twofold. Firstly, to come and give us the understanding of all of this, because if I didn't understand about karma and drama, I wouldn't be in charge of writing my own script. So the understanding that God has given me gives me the power to be able to do this. But also, God's role as the purifier. My karma has brought me to a position where I've essentially lost control of my mind. And that sounds pretty awful. But actually, that is the reality. I don't want to think about the past, but I'm pulled there. I don't want to be afraid of the future, but my fears take over. And so I miss out on what I could do in the present. So the state where we are not in charge of our minds anymore, and that applies to everybody, more or less, and where maybe I think, well, I am the master of my own mind. Am I also the master of my feelings, my emotions? Am I the master of my own capacity to enhance decision-making? You can see that God's power to cleanse the mind, purify the mind, which is what meditation is about, focusing my thoughts on God, is going to allow my mind to become stable, concentrated, clean, focused, effective, all of those things. My capacity to understand, again, it's become a bit polluted. We're in the era of post-truth. And what is fake news? What is real news? We're having to ask the question. And so our understanding is very mixed up, very polluted at this moment. So again, the cleansing of the consciousness, the conscience, the intellect, my capacity to understand. God's role is a very powerful role in that. And without that connection with God, I don't think it's possible. And so my habits, the power to break my habits, whether it's substance addictions or more subtle addictions like my anger, my ego, again, it's only God's intervention that gives me the power to have the willpower to say no, whether it's to drugs or whether it's to anger. But you can see substance addictions and our inner addictions follow the same pattern of behavior where we get trapped. So God's role is absolutely critical. But God can't change me unless I want to change myself. So God can't intervene in my personal drama except to help me understand and give me the power to be able to make the changes that now I know I need to make. Very good question.
Thank you. Any other questions? Jenti Ben is here. It's a very rare chance to have Jenti Ben with us on this a range of wonderful topics. No? Yes, sister.
Om Shanti. My name is Ruth Acevedo from New York, USA, and I have a question. Yesterday, we were with Sister Denise, and she talked about karma account. Can you elaborate on karma account?
Let me give you an example. Here I am in a situation in which I'm still a child, and things happen that I wouldn't want to happen, whatever that may be. And so why is it happening in this way? I'm not yet capable of expressing things in a good way or a bad way at the moment. So at this moment, it's not my present karma that has created this situation, which is unhappy for me or distressing for me, but I'm still the recipient of the situation. So in this situation, I would say it must be some past karmic account with this individual that has put me here. And my good fortune would be, good karma would be, that maybe there's one individual who's creating distress, but there's another individual who may be around who can support me and mentor me and guide me and help me come out of that distress. So it's never completely either good or bad. It's usually a combination of things. A little bit good, a little bit not so good.
Thank you, sister.
Om Shanti. You mentioned that karma is what I've done. So I just wanted to find out then, how does it work with regards to family karma? So my parents, my grandparents, can I inherit their karma? Or is the karma that I'm dealing with personal? It's mine, my journey, and I don't have to inherit or be responsible for my family karma.
Because I believe in rebirth, then I'm also aware that karma carries from one birth to another to another. So where I am today is not just my karma with these two individuals who are my parents, but there's a whole lineage of ancestry. And so my karma is connected to my parents, my grandparents, and so on. I don't carry their karma, but I'm connected with their karma. And so yes, there are things that I inherit, but I didn't inherit them just by chance, but my inheritance has come because of my relationship and my give and take with those souls. If I say give and take instead of karma, that again puts a different light on it, that there's give and take I've had with these souls along the way that has put me in the situation where there's even more give and take. Big, 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 big subject to explore.
Om Shanti. I'm Mary from Thailand. I don't know whether this is a question or just would like to something to verify or maybe expand feelings. Like normally circumstances happen and we all differently looking at it, and maybe the same circumstance, but what we make it means, it create us react, and that react or action became karma. And some of them took the circumstance as a positive. The same circumstance, somebody else would take it in a negative way. So what can we differentiate, or can we help the people to see the both sides of circumstance, and they would take action accordingly? Om Shanti.
I'm not sure that I've fully understood the context of your question, but let me try and answer it, and then you can, we run out of time here, but you can meet me afterwards and we'll see further. How can we help others understand? It's a very simple thing if we just look at it in terms of the immediate situation. I can choose what response to give in a situation. Here's somebody who's provoking me. Am I going to get upset and cry about it? I can do that, but it doesn't help me, but rather it's empowering the perpetrator. But another way, can I at this moment, in the face of provocation, take such power from God that I can remain completely peaceful and not allow it to touch me? Or am I going to react with anger and add more karma to my burden? So let me choose what it is I want to do. And if my choice is that I want to stay calm so that I don't increase my karmic account, but I'm also not giving way to the perpetrator to provoke me more, because if they see non-reaction, what they want is a reaction, they'll probably stop. And so I can choose. And so you can explain to anybody in this way, never mind past karma, past birth, just to the present moment, I have a choice. I think the whole question of understanding is related to this issue of choice. And so that's what karma teaches me. I have